for several years, go from church to church to church, not having any home to live in, just in order to go to a foreign field so that they can tell the gospel story to someone and risk their lives, live in poverty, and possibly die a martyr. Why would they do that? Why do we have a youth group and a church choir and Sunday school and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning services? Why is it that we have a Christian school? I'll tell you why we have all of these things. It's because there's some of us that have realized the greatness of the harvest. Amen. And regardless of where you're at, there is a great harvest field around us. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes, behold, the harvest is white and ready in the harvest." Amen. As we look around our fields today, we see that the corn and the soybeans, they're ready to come off. Matter of fact, if they wait too long, the actual crop is going to start falling into the field, never to be reaped. And Jesus said the harvest field is white, already unto harvest. I want you to consider just a couple things, and I'm going to let you go this morning. But I want you to see some things about the harvest field in Matthew chapter number 9. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 35 and 36. If you got your Bible, turn there, please. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 35 and verse number 36. As we consider the harvest fields around us. Listen to me. As we consider the harvest field, you need to understand the only thing that's going to make a difference in eternity, it's not your job and it's not your retirement account. It's not your bank account or the house that you live in or the car or the truck that you drive. What's going to make a difference in your life is whether or not your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in your life. And there are boys and girls and moms and dads that have an opportunity to ride a bus, go to a Sunday school class, go to a Christian school that may have an opportunity to hear the gospel, and because of what they hear, they can be saved and have their lives delivered from the wrath to come. Amen? Amen? And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 35 and verse number 36. I think we need to, number one, take a good look at the harvest fields. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Why? Because he saw a need that was in their life. And there's a great need in people's lives today. A need to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not only to have Jesus Christ as the Savior of their soul, but the Savior of their life. I don't know where I'd be today if someone wouldn't have come and knocked on my door and shared Jesus Christ with me. I have no idea where my children would be today if Jesus Christ did not save me. He was moved with compassion because they fainted, were scattered abroad. As sheep having no shepherd. I want you to notice the great need of the people. Number one, they were sick and diseased. And I'm not necessarily talking about sick and diseased as far as getting the measles and the mumps and even Ebola. I'm talking about the disease and the sickness of the soul. That sickness which will send a person to a place called hell forever and ever and ever. We need to understand that mankind is sick without God. And he saw them as sick. He saw them as sick and diseased. He saw them as weak and faint. Ready to collapse. No strength within them. And that's what the lost world is, my friends. It is sick and it is weak. And they're like sheep having no shepherd, no guidance in their life, no one to protect them from the wolves that are out there. And that's what the lost world is. They are vulnerable to the attack of Satan, who takes them captive as his own will. He is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. We need to understand that the harvest field is filled full of people that are sick and diseased and weak and faint and scattered abroad. No guide, no shepherd. And today people are the same way. Listen. Over 1 million legal abortions take place every year in the United States. And that does not include the ones that are unreported. Today, for every marriage, there is 1.6 divorces. Every 20 seconds, there is a violent crime against some woman. One out of every four fatal car accidents involve alcohol. The lost are hellbound forever, folks. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Listen to me. Matthew 25 and verse number 46, it says, "And these shall go into everlasting righteousness, but the righteous, or excuse me, these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." In Revelation 14 and verse number 11, and it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast, and who receiveth the mark of his name." Listen, I'm here to tell you, there is a certain eternity, whether it's a boy or a girl, whether it's a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, there is a certain eternity that they are going to face, and it doesn't make any difference. All of our own pet peeves and all of our own personal desires, it doesn't make any difference, because one day, all of those things are going to be left behind, and we're going to stand before a holy and a righteous God. And the question is, what are we doing in the harvest fields that God has left us here? The multitude is lost. They need a Savior. The harvest is all around us. Today we can see the harvest field with the bus ministry. But there's a harvest field. This past week, we had four kids at Ottawa County Christian Academy bow their head and their heart and ask Jesus Christ to save them. That is a mission field. That is outreach. Amen? A lot of times we think of outreaches. We're going to go ahead and feed the hungry and clothe the poor, and we're going to go ahead and build houses for them. And what we do, we make the world a wonderful place to send them to hell from. That's what we do. And we can go ahead and do all the humanitarian things in the world, and I'm not saying those things aren't important, because they are. But listen, we can go ahead and feed the hungry, and we can go ahead and clothe them. But without Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference. So I think number one, we need to take a good look at the people of the harvest fields. Sick and diseased and faint, scattered abroad, no guide, no shepherd. An eternal soul that will spend somewhere forever. And then I think we need to take a good look at the size of the harvest field. The size of the harvest field. There is over 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Every day, 150,000 are born into this world. That's the size of Dayton, Ohio, every day appears. Imagine that. Every day. And every day, there's 100,000 people that drift off into eternity. Every day, 100,000 people die. And how many know Jesus Christ as our Savior? I'm telling you, there is a harvest field around us of vast proportion. And we are so involved in the things of this world. And we are so involved in all of our own personal pet peeves that we want to see those things accomplished in our lives that are only going to last just but a vapor. What makes a difference? I tell you, we are in a race against time. Someone once wrote, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Verse number 36 and verse number 37, "He saw them, He had compassion on them." He says, "Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You're part of the harvest. You're part of the harvest. Our bus kids are a part of the harvest. And they need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a population explosion that is demanding more missionaries. The question is, maybe one of these bus kids will be a missionary. Would you be willing to go? You say, "Oh, you know, I can't do anything." With God's help, everyone can do what God wants them to do. aging and dying missionaries are demanding more missionaries on the field. I got a letter from Brother Art Ball this past week, no longer able to return to England. Him and his wife are up in years now, and diabetes and health problems have taken over, and they're begging someone to go ahead and take their place over in England. I'm here to tell you there are missionaries all around the world that need to have help. I was talking to Jim Pullman this past week. He was driving from here to up to Fairbanks, Alaska, and then flying into the brush country. They just got there today. They left last Monday. He said, I have got a burden to reach out to the brush country in Alaska. He said, but how can you support a church that that has maybe 15 people in this little community and maybe 20 people over here that's 600 miles from nowhere? I said, you can't. He says, what do I do? I says, you need to try to reach them. You see, all around us there is a harvest field that needs to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And laborers are quitting and laborers are getting discouraged. Last year alone, there was 3,000 churches in America that closed its doors. 3,000. There are ministers that are quitting and ministers that are giving up. They say, what's the point? I'll tell you what's the point. These young boys and girls and these moms and dads that will ride a bus and come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's what the point is. I understand that the laborers are quitting and laborers are discouraged and fewer are going into the ministry. Let me just remind you, young people, if God is tugging on your heart about full-time ministry, I'll remind you what C.H. Spurgeon said many, many years ago. If God called you to preach, don't stoop to be a king. The greatest thing that you could ever do is serve God on a full-time basis. I know about 2 years after I was started Grace Baptist Church, I had an opportunity to go work with the Major League Baseball chaplaincy, and I turned it down. They wanted me to quit the church, so they wanted me to go ahead and go full-time and be a chaplain over all of the Midwest. Make more than what I'm actually making now. I said no. The greatest thing we can do is go ahead and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest. More and more people are going to the secular realm for work instead of the ministry. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ left us here for a reason. If you're saved today, He left you here for a reason. And that reason is not to make this world work for you and make you more comfortable. That's not why God left us here. God left us here to be a light. He left us here to fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He wants us to point the lost to Christ. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He saw that your sin separated you from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And He loved you so much and He saw that your sin separated you from God that He said, you know what? I'm willing to pay a payment that they're not able to pay for themselves. And He went to the cross of Calvary. And cruel and vicious men beat Him and mocked Him and spit upon Him and drove nails in His hands and His feet. And He shed His blood as payment for your sin and for mine. And He loved you so much, He stretched out His hands to the world. And there He bowed His head and died. God loved you so much, He paid the price for your sin on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and 3 days later, thank God, He arose from the grave to show a triumph over it. And today He invites you as an individual to receive what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Whether you're a bus kid, a Sunday school kid, or maybe you come in at 11 o'clock hour, it doesn't make any difference. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the most important thing you could ever do is bow your head and your heart and trust Christ today. Because that's really the only thing that makes a difference in this world. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. I'm here to tell you, listen, we need to go ahead and understand how important the harvest field is. And if you as an individual have never been reaped by the harvester, today you need to go ahead and trust Christ as your Savior. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. If you're not saved today, you ought to get saved. If you are saved, my question to you is, are you willing to enter into the harvest field which is so great and is so needy? Are you willing to enter in? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to be able to pray for you. I won't know how to pray unless you respond in some way. And so today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to have me pray for you,